Well,
a bit thinking about getting back into a book that would be verse by verse. We kind of finished up most of the letters of Paul and then went into some topical stuff, but I started digging through all my notes, and it's been about 12 years. I taught the book of 1 John in the men's class. So we're going to attempt to do that. Don't know how long we'll talk. The last time I taught it, it took us a year to get through it. I don't think we'll spend that much time on it. There, of course, is a lot to cover. But we just want to kind of look at some things and make some comments and maybe share with you some of the things that I've learned from my studies and the book of John, 1 John, is not a real hard book to understand. There are some things, you know, like any other book, that are kind of difficult. But we'll just we'll jump in here and see how far we get. What I would like to do, I don't know if it's even possible. I know last week Mike covered a whole chapter and did a good job on it. I can't do that. I have a hard time doing that. Well, let's have a word of prayer before we begin, and we'll get into this and see how far we get today. Our Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, for the opportunity once again to meet together. We would ask, Father, your blessing upon the Sunday school hour, that you would be with each teacher. Lord, that you would bless your word as it's being taught, that you might be honored and glorified through the teaching of your word. We pray, Father, that you might give us understanding, that you would direct our minds, and Lord, that you would impress upon our hearts and our minds the things that you'd have us to know. We ask your blessing upon our pastor as he comes later and as he opens the word and preaches, that, Lord, that you would speak through him those things that we need to hear. We'd ask, Father, that you'd forgive us for all the ways that we have sinned against you and all the ways that we have failed you. Lord, that you would teach us as we look into your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John are called the general epistles for the reason that they're not written specifically to a church. They are probably written to a general audience in the area of Ephesus. They were written somewhere around 85 to 95 AD. Of course, written by the Apostle John, the same one that wrote the book of John and the book of Revelation. There's not much controversy about that, about who wrote them. There are some people that say that there's two or three different authors, but I don't believe that at all. I think, if nothing else, the style of the writing is definitely that of John. There are only five chapters. It's not a very long book. One thing that you have to remember about this, and I find this kind of interesting, is that it was these books are written after Paul had received revelation and the things that Paul taught as far as the church and the place of Christ in times to come and all these things. And I really I really think that it's very possible that when John wrote these words, that he had available to him all the New Testament books. And I'll tell you why I believe that. If you turn over to 2 Peter, and chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, he says, "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking of them, of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." So when Peter wrote in 2 Peter was written somewhere around 65 A.D., so it is a very good possibility that the Apostle John had Paul's writings accessible to him. There has been approximately 60 years that went by since the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. In that time period, there has been much heresy infected the church already. There are many false teachers that have entered into the church, false spirits and antichrist and false prophets, all these kind of things have already entered into the local churches and have corrupted them. And I think probably the perfect example of that is in the book of Revelation, the first three chapters, where he addresses there all those individual churches and all the things that were wrong with them. You have to realize that, like I said, it's only been 50, 60 years since the Lord himself had been on this earth, and already you see so much corruption, and that ought to tell us something about where we're at today. But John touches on a lot of these things. He doesn't get real serious about them, but he mentions a lot of these things as he writes in this first book here. And there was one group in particular that he doesn't name, but he makes a reference to them. There was a group called the Gnostics, and they believed that, to make this real simple, they believed that, how can I put this? That matter was evil, but that it didn't affect the soul of man, that man was not contaminated by physical things. And because of that, they didn't believe in any kind of sin. They didn't believe man had any sin. And John addresses that somewhat in this first chapter. just to give you something that I find very interesting, again, is the Gnostics. The word itself comes from the Greek word gnosis. And that means knowledge. That's what they focused on. You know what an agnostic is, okay? When you put the A in front of that word gnosis, that means no knowledge. That's what an agnostic claims to be. I remember one time I told a friend of mine, he was just a dummy. He didn't have any knowledge. If he was an agnostic, that's what the word means. He didn't have any knowledge. And of course, he got mad at me, but that's true. The emphasis in the letter of 1 John is very strong on the deity of Christ, his relationship to the Father, and our relationship to the Father and the Son. It's what we call fellowship. He mentions that quite extensively through this book. There are a lot of doctrinal things that we could spend a lot of time on, but we're going to get into some of that, but we're not going to spend all of our time on that. There's also the thing of that John deals with, especially here in the first chapter, and then again in the third chapter, he deals quite extensively with sin and fellowship and abiding in Christ and how sin affects that relationship. He talks about the things of the world and how they affect us. The first couple of verses here are two of the most important in this chapter because of what they say. And the fact that when we compare, and we'll do this, when we compare a couple other verses, and I think he writes this in order to refute the Gnostics, because in these first two verses, what he says is that the Lord Jesus Christ was and is and ever shall be God in the flesh. Another thing that the Gnostics taught, there's a lot of this kind of thing present today in some of the cults and things, and that was that they believed that they refer to the Christ Spirit, that Christ Spirit came upon the man Jesus at his birth and then left at his death. So they didn't believe anything about the Lord Jesus Christ being God. And he gets into this and covers quite extensively, and we'll look at several verses concerning what the Bible says about the deity of Christ. And by that, we just very simply mean that he was God. Let's go ahead and read the first chapter, 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. There's, again, something that he says here in the very first verse, that which was from the beginning. There's only three times that that expression or anything like that expression is used to begin a book in the Bible. It says here, that which was from the beginning. If you go back to the Gospel of John in the first verse, he says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word is with God. And then the other verses like that is, of course, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We see that John is saying that the one that he heard, the one he saw, the one he handled, the one that he was with, the one that he walked with and fellowshiped with and had communion with for 3.5 years, as he says at the end of verse 1, was the Word of life. And in verse 2, he says that that life was manifested. You see in those first two verses several words that should cause you to see some cross-references. In the beginning was the Word, he says in the book of John. He says almost the same thing here. In verse 2, he says that that life was manifested. The first thing that should come to your mind when you read that verse is what Paul says in 1 Timothy 3:16, that God was manifest in the flesh. And I looked up something yesterday. I don't know why. It came to me yesterday to check the references on a new translation. I should have known better than to even waste my time looking it up. But there's a new version of the Bible. I don't know how long it's been out. And I forget what it stands for. It's the ESV, English, I don't know, English Standard. That's what it is, English Standard Version. Well, I thought, I just wonder, knowing the history of all these corrupt translations, I looked up 1 Timothy 3:16. It says, God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. ESV just says he was manifested. It doesn't tell you who the he was. It just says he was manifest. That's all it says. Which shouldn't surprise you, because these things are very consistent. I have a lot of verses here we could turn to. We just, you know, we just spent all day looking at verses but the thing of it is that you should connect. When you read verses that have the same kind of words, like you see here in these first two verses, that he was the word of life, that he was manifested. Turn back to John chapter 1. We'll have to look at that. It's too good to, not to read. In John chapter 1, John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, doesn't that sound just like 1 John? I mean, it's almost identical. But we see in the thing that I've learned in what little bit I know about some of the verses of Scripture is it's very easy to tie together several verses that teach the same thing if you pay attention to something as little as a word. It's very important. One word can change the whole aspect of what you're looking at. And it's hard to do sometimes, because we get in the habit of just reading and not paying attention to what we're reading. In verse 2, he tells you a little bit more about who this person was. Well, the end of verse 1, he says that it was the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, bear witness, show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. He uses the word manifested twice in that verse. And all that word means is that the word manifest basically means to, in this case, to show. And the fact that this word of life was made manifest to us. And that tells us that that word of life is more than just an average person. And when you connect that with the Gospel of John in the first few verses, you see how that plays out. And he says he was the word of life. Eternal life is in Christ. And the reason for that is that he is life. And what did he say? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but turn over a couple pages in 1 John to chapter 5. Look at verse 11 and 12 here. This is a record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You can't get much plainer than that. He is called the Word of Life. He's called the Word in several different instances. We've mentioned this before. That God has provided for us the Word of Life, the Lord Jesus Christ. After He came, He died on the cross, He paid the penalty for our sins, He arose, descended into heaven. That life is gone. As far as we know, you know, that He's no longer here. So what did He leave us? He left His Word, the physical Word. We can handle the Word of God right here. That's what we have today. Jesus is not here on this earth anymore. We can handle the Word of God. John handled the eternal Word, the physical Son of God, while He was here on this earth. And when you think about what John says when he writes this, this is his personal testimony of what he experienced for 3.5 years, that he literally had fellowship and was in the presence of God in the flesh. How much did he understand it? I have no idea. I'm sure he didn't understand it, and we don't either, really. The only thing we can understand is what the Word of God, the book, tells us. And it also tells us that in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. That's what I'm going to tell you about, he says. Okay? That ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He is telling us here that we can have fellowship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to have time to do all this, but just give you some homework, something that you can do. When he says that, he says that we have handled, we have seen, we have declared that Jesus Christ was real. He was the Word of Life. He was God in the flesh. If you don't believe that, do some cross-referencing and see how many times that people, angels, demons, whatever, how many times that they confessed that Jesus was the Son of God. It's not just a random thing.